Grace, mercy, peace, and hope are yours in abundance through God our Father and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow Christians, the prophet Isaiah once said about God, "Truly you are a God who hides himself." Now, does that seem correct to you that God hides himself? You can find examples in Scripture where God didn't hide himself to his people. On Mount Sinai, all the Israelites saw the glory of the Lord descending on the mountain. Prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel saw God in all of his glory when he called them to serve as his prophets. Or the Apostle John, who received a revelation where he saw God sitting on his throne in all of his glory. Yes, there were times when God did not hide himself, but those incidents were rare, few and far between. Almost always, God does hide himself. Even though we can look at creation and see God's power and his wisdom, even though we can look at our lives and see all the blessings that God has given us, we still don't see him. He hides himself. Now, the reason I bring that up is because today we go back to the events that happened on Easter Sunday. On that day, Jesus revealed himself to so many people that he had risen from the dead. But in this incident, with these two disciples, he hides himself. It may seem strange that Jesus would do that, but he does it to reveal all hope to these two disciples. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Imagine if you were one of those two disciples. What would you be talking about and discussing with each other? I'm sure they were talking about everything that Jesus did, all of his miracles that they witnessed that moved them to follow him. I'm sure they were talking about everything that Jesus said and why they put their hope in him because of who he was and what he said to them. I'm sure they were talking about how last week on Palm Sunday, all of Jerusalem was praising Jesus. But then on Friday, they were all shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So as they are discussing all of these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now imagine if you were Jesus at this moment. What would you do? I think all of us, if we were Jesus, would reveal ourselves to these two disciples to give them hope. But here, he hides himself. They are kept from recognizing him. Why does he do that? He doesn't do it with anyone else on Easter. When Mary Magdalene is crying at the empty tomb and she has no hope, Jesus appears to her and he says, "Mary." When the women run from the tomb and they're filled with joy and yet they still have fear and their doubts, Jesus appears to them to take away those doubts. When the disciples lock themselves in a room because of fear, Jesus appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." But with these two disciples who had lost hope, he hides himself. Why? Well, let's see how the rest of the story plays out. He asks them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor of Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. Isn't it interesting At the very moment that Jesus asked the disciples what they were talking about, they stopped walking. And their faces became downcast. They become sad. They were fine talking and discussing these things earlier. But when a stranger comes to them and asks them about it, they now have to explain everything to the stranger, what has happened. This only adds to their grief, to their sadness, to their hope that they had lost. And so they explained to the stranger who Jesus was. And there are a couple of things I want us to highlight. One, they mentioned that Jesus was a powerful prophet. They realized he was sent by God himself. Two, even though he was this powerful prophet and such a great person, he was still crucified, died, and was buried. Three, they had hoped that Jesus would redeem all of Israel. And four, it's been 3 days. They have heard reports that the tomb was empty, and the women have come to them and said they have seen visions of angels that told them that he had risen. When Jesus hears all of these things, he says to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" The reason why these two disciples had lost all their hope is because they had their wrong views of what Scripture had to say about the Christ. People at that time were told that the Christ would redeem all of Israel by overthrowing the Romans and establishing an earthly kingdom that would last forever. And when people saw Jesus, when they witnessed his miracles, when they heard him speaking, they thought, this has to be the Christ. But when Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, all of that hope was gone. And that's why Jesus says to these disciples, "How foolish you are. How slow you are to understand everything that Scripture had to say about the Christ." But now let's bring it back to present time. If Jesus were here right now, would he say the same things to you and to me? Would he say how foolish we are and how slow we are to believe everything that Scripture says? So many times we lose hope because of our wrong views and interpretations of Scripture. These two disciples lost hope because they believed that Jesus was this powerful prophet. He could save others, but he couldn't save himself. For us, we believe that God is all-powerful. And yet when God doesn't protect and shield us from certain things, and we think that he always should, we can lose hope. These two disciples lost hope that because Jesus was this great person, and yet, he was still hated and killed. For us, we can think that since we are believers in Jesus, nothing bad should ever happen to us. And yet Scripture says the complete opposite. It says that we will suffer as we carry our crosses for Christ. And because of that, we can lose hope. These two disciples lost hope because they thought that Jesus would redeem all of Israel by establishing an earthly kingdom. For us, sometimes we can think, this is who God should be. This is what God should do for me. And when he doesn't live up to those expectations, we can lose hope. And these two disciples, they still lost hope. Even though it had been 3 days and the women were reporting to them that Jesus had risen, which was exactly what Jesus told these disciples would happen. For us, we can look at what Scripture clearly says, and yet we can think, I know that's what the Bible says, but I'm not sure if that's really true. And so because of our ignorance, our foolishness, our slowness to believe, we can lose hope. But here's the good news. Even though we are so foolish and so slow to believe everything that Scripture says to us, God is so wise and so patient to reveal all hope to us through Scripture. That's exactly what Jesus did for these two disciples. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself. Think of all the different portions of Scripture that Jesus could have used to explain to these disciples that he had to suffer and die. Passages like Genesis chapter 3, where God gave the first promise of a Savior, and he said to Satan, "He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Or passages from Psalm 22, "They have pierced my hands and my feet." Or passages from Isaiah chapter 53. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was cut off from the land of the living. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death." Scripture made it very clear that Jesus the Christ had to suffer and die. But Scripture also made it very clear that he would rise from the dead and enter into his glory. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life. "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth." And so here we can finally see why Jesus hid himself from these disciples. He did it so that he could reveal all hope to them through Scripture and Scripture alone. And we know these disciples were receiving this hope because when Jesus pretended to walk away from them, they pleaded with Jesus to stay with them and to talk with them more. And so Jesus did. And when it came time for the meal, Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And at that very moment, their eyes were open, and they recognized him. At that very moment, all their hope that was lost was given back to them. And yet, what does Jesus do? He disappeared from their sight. Why? Why does he do that? Why doesn't he stay with them? Why does he hide himself once again? Well, to be honest, Scripture doesn't tell us this is why Jesus disappeared. But notice what the disciples said right after Jesus disappeared. "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?" These two disciples, they don't focus on the fact that they had seen Jesus physically raised from the dead with their own eyes. Instead, they focus on how their hearts were burning within them as Jesus revealed Scripture to them. That's what they focus on. And how God, even though he hid himself, revealed all hope to them through Scripture. And think about how that applies to us. Yes, God does hide himself. But think of all the times he reveals all hope to us through Scripture. And when he does, our hearts are burning within us. Those times when you read Scripture on your own, and you come across one section of Scripture or just one passage that really helps you. And so your heart burns within you as God reveals all hope. Those times when you are going through something that no one else knows about and it's just eating inside of you. And then you come to church and the focus of the worship service deals exactly with what you are going through. And so your heart burns within you as God reveals all hope. Now, those times when we sing certain hymns, And because of either the melody or the words, we just get those goosebumps and all those warm feelings flood into our heart. That's God revealing all hope to us as we sing His word. Or how about those times when the pastor is preaching his sermon? And even though he is preaching to everyone, it just feels like he's preaching directly to you. And so every word that he says, you just soak in. And your heart burns within you as God reveals all hope through that pastor and his message. And all those things that I mentioned earlier, when we can lose our hope, God who hides himself reveals all hope to us as well. The times that we lose hope because God doesn't automatically shield and protect us from things, God says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Cast all your burdens on me because I care for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. When we lose hope because we suffer as we carry our cross for Christ, that's where Scripture tells us we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. When we lose hope because God doesn't live up to all of our expectations of who we think He should be, God says, I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving your wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And when we lose hope because of how foolish we are and how slow to believe everything that Scripture says, that's where Jesus himself tells us, stop doubting and believe. These words are written that you may believe that I am the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in my name. And so my brothers and sisters in Christ, even though our God is a God who hides himself, he still reveals all hope to us through Scripture and Scripture alone. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.